Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this show, here on AFR. I'm Tim with Fred, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. By the way, we do video this show, and if you want to go to stream.afa.net, right?
Yes, sir, stream.afa.net. We're also video streaming on YouTube, Today's Issues YouTube. Our Facebook page,
yeah.
Today's Issues on Facebook.
So you can, but if you want to go to our streaming service, stream.afa.net, stream.afa.net. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing?
What's on your mind?
Well, I went to a wedding this weekend.
Oh, really? What happened?
Somebody got married.
Somebody got married?
To a boy and a girl. Well, a young man and a young woman.
Well, that's good. Married, nice. By the way, they're not using rice anymore.
No, you know what they're doing now? This, and we didn't stay long enough to see, but when the bride and groom leave, now they're doing sparklers.
Uh-huh.
Not sprinklers. Sparklers. They get long sparklers like you see on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Everybody stands in this big, tunnel, and they walk through
the
sparklers.
Yep, I've done that before, instead of rice.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they threw rice. We all threw rice, but
or
you know
bird
what?
Seed or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the rice, they got in trouble because it wasn't birds choking on the rice or something like that.
Yeah, that's why they started doing bird seed.
And then they did bird seed. Then I thought to myself, I'm not for doing anything that you have to sweep up for an hour and a half, huh? If they even sweep up, I think a lot of churches thought, hey, these people are leaving. They're not cleaning up their rice.
Right.
So. Anyway, so sprinklers. Do you do the sprinkler thing?
That's sprinklers. I misspoke. Sparklers.
Sparklers.
Oh, yeah.
Sprinklers
well,
would be
I
bad.
I think I misspoke.
Sprinklers would be very bad for a poor girl.
Yeah.
dress, my hair.
Yeah, yeah. Sparklers.
Sparklers. Yeah, we've done that a couple times. Yeah.
The main reason I go to weddings, this sounds terrible. I don't look forward to them.
Yeah.
Typically, I know that's terrible to say, but I'm just sharing my heart.
Yeah.
Steve,
I want to hear.
I should have corrected myself. I do like celebrating the union of a man and a woman, who are giving glory to God as they start their life together.
This was a very, very Christian.
Okay. I do celebrate that. It's just like when I get the invitation, I'm like, that's a whole Saturday shot. You know what I'm saying?
I know, right?
When I could be doing what I want to do
instead
of honoring what
you mean people. You could be doing what your wife wants you to do.
Yeah, or something like that. And then I could do what I want to do after I do what my wife wants me to do. But in this case, but I do say to myself, you know, Tim, yes, you're going to have to break off 4 or 5 hours of a Saturday, but you got to remember there is a reception.
Right.
And the reception is where the real action is, because then you can judge the spread of the table and the food and
right. Get some cake.
So my question to you, Steve, and you're not going to mention any names,
no.
But can you? How would you say the reception? The food at the reception.
Food was excellent at the reception.
Not the fellowship. No, I don't care about that. I don't care about the food.
Yeah, Heather is noting this. That it's probably cheaper these days to put a full spread out, like a meal, like a line, a buffet line.
With,
I mean, they had.
That's what
meats.
I'm talking about.
They had some. Some
they had what? What's your first
meat,
thing?
Like
meat,
some
yeah.
barbecue. They had some
yeah.
chicken.
Yeah, there you go.
They had some mac and cheese,
uh-huh.
green beans, some salad. She surmises, given the food prices today, it's probably cheaper to do that than it is to do like heavy hors d'oeuvres. You get those little crackers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Those are expensive stuff. So
I like the hors d'oeuvres too, but there better be a main meal.
There was a meal
included, not just hors d'oeuvres. That's kind of, you know, that's kind of the cheap man.
Sometimes you
cheap
get descriptives now, heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard that term.
Yeah.
I'll go a little heavy hors d'oeuvres. But anyway, so.
Yeah. So it was a full meal, and I'd give it about a 7 out of 10.
I got you. Okay. Well, go ahead. What's your first story?
I want to talk about a rally this weekend that happened. Presidential candidates. I know you guys have been talking about one of them. I want to talk about the other one. Kamala Harris had a rally in Michigan.
It was her rally.
It was in Kalamazoo. And she invited a bunch of abortion doctors, so to speak, up to the stage, some abortionists up to the stage to tell everybody how terrible life was going to be for women if Donald Trump got elected to the office. I've got a video I'm going to describe as we're playing it, but basically the doctors were up on stage when somebody off stage left yells, "Medic! Medic!" The doctors kind of stops. One, the guy at the podium says, "I think someone needs a medic over here." And then all of them, 10 or 11 of them, stand around looking at each other like, is someone going to do something? Somebody needs medical help over there. Most hilarious thing you've ever seen. A doctor standing around when somebody needs medical help and they don't know what to do.
Well, it's maybe funny, but it's not funny to the person needing help.
It's not funny, but it's so typical of the abortionists who don't know really anything except taking life. They're not sure how to save it. But let's listen to Cut 16.
Sadly, becoming ill and dying.
Now you're going to hear somebody say, medic, medic.
Nationwide. I think someone needs some medical assistance over here.
Now the doctors are all standing around looking at each other, looking in a circle, says, anybody going to help this poor person? Anybody going to help this poor person? These are doctors.
Hmm. You know, in the first hour, we talked about what Kamala Harris did yesterday. She went to a church. So on Saturday, she has an event in Kalamazoo, Michigan, where she invites abortion doctors to the stage. Doctors who take the life of the unborn. And then she is welcomed at a church in Philadelphia the next day.
Yes, yeah, so she it's more than just freedom of choice. She's celebrating abortion.
Yes.
If you're calling abortionists up on the stage and you're cheering them, and their occupation is to dismember unborn babies in the womb, and you're cheering on that, you're celebrating that, that is horrific,
wow,
to say the least. And what you're saying is, though, she can be celebrating abortion and then be invited to a church.
That's less than 24 hours later,
that's despicable.
She is welcomed at a church.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Mm. All right, next story.
All right, some interesting things happening in the world of journalism. Two of the major newspapers in this country, the Washington Post and the LA Times, have decided, getting rid of several years of tradition, not to endorse a presidential candidate. The LA Times decided first, and then the Washington Post a day or so later decided we're not going to endorse a candidate. It has the newsrooms in full revolt. Many people there, editors and reporters resigning. The others apoplectic about this turn of events. Both, in both cases, management. The ownership, one's Jeff Bezos. The other is an Asian guy that owns the LA Times. And he and they both kind of said from on high, we're not going to endorse. We don't really know exactly the whole reason, except we do have a clue. The daughter of the owner of the Washington of the LA Times wrote this. She said, "For the support of the paper for Israel, the LA Times support for Israel is, or the, I'm sorry, the Harris support for Israel, as tepid as it is, the Biden-Harris support for Israel is her red line." She says, "For me, genocide is the line in the sand. That's why they're not. That's why the LA Times did not endorse Kamala Harris, because the administration she works for somewhat supports Israel."
You know, we've done interviews as to why we think the newspapers did this, and people have various opinions. First of all, let's say if they were going to endorse, they were going to endorse Kamala Harris. For the LA Times in Kamala Harris's hometown, Los Angeles, The editor, the person in charge of the editorial board quit, and two others now have quit out there over this. But I had to laugh at some of the journalists who are upset about this at the LA Times. They said, well, we present neutral points of view on our political coverage, which is a total joke. But I think the owner of the LA Times also said what he wanted to do was set up strengths and weaknesses of both candidates. He wanted to run a page, strengths and weaknesses of both candidates, and they wouldn't have that. The journalists who said, you know, that we cover the campaign from a neutral point of view didn't want the paper to set up on its editorial page strengths and weaknesses. They thought that was a sellout. Likewise, the Washington Post, Jeff Bezos, owns the Washington Post.
The Amazon founder.
Some people were speculating he has some contracts. This is what they're speculating with the federal government. He believes Harris is going to lose, and that's why he put a stop to endorsements this year.
Huh. Yeah.
Who owns LA Times?
The LA Times, it's again, it's a tech investor from Asia. Let me get his name.
We don't know his name.
I do. I didn't. LA Times owner.
Okay.
You're not going to recognize the name, but he's very rich. His name is?
The reason I asked, Jeff Bezos is known around the world.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, he's the Washington Post owner.
His name is Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong.
He used to live down the street from
me. He might have, yeah. Before he made his money,
no,
he
was in
Mississippi. Yeah.
He and his wife, nice people.
Ooh.
Kept their yard to a T, and they moved to L.A. So then they bought the paper there.
Okay.
That's been a while.
You could have bought it.
Stayed in touch. No, well, yeah. So here's the situation: the Washington Post and the L.A. Times, two of the largest newspapers in America, very liberal, and they're not endorsing Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not endorsing Trump. They're not endorsing Harris. So they evidently. Something's going on there. There's a reason for that that we don't know exactly why.
Well,
may have hit the nail on the head.
You know, I think for sure they believe Harris is going to lose.
Yeah.
And also there's, you know, these big newspapers are losing money like crazy.
That's true.
And they're trying to regain some credibility with a broader audience.
Yeah.
And so I think that could be one of the reasons.
You know, newspapers are just fading away.
Yeah.
All of us in this room, we grew up with newspapers.
Yes.
And now they're just, you know, I think the digital age is just taking its toll on the print media.
That's a group of paper maps.
Well, yeah. Yeah, Rand McNally.
Get out of the way, right. The paper maps, so is the newspaper.
So, you know, I studied journalism in college. I mean, I was in the newspaper business, not as an owner or even I was the editor of my campus newspaper, Sports, but I worked in the newspaper business as a writer back in when newspapers were still a big deal.
Yeah.
But now, you know, what used to be 30 pages of a local newspaper is now down to 15.
Yep.
Right. And then four or five of those pages are either real estate ads or local car dealership ads. And if you didn't have those ads, you wouldn't have a newspaper at all.
Mm-hmm.
The newspaper fills a void or a space in journalism that nobody else really fills, which is a written record and usually published with a day or at least half a day of perspective. So with TV, you can get a camera right out there and you can show, but then it's gone. I mean, you can record it, but it's gone. And then with radio, the same thing. We can have sound. We can be immediate. Breaking news. This has happened. If you generally take a little while to write something, you put it past your editors. They vetted it. This is in a real world, an ideal world. And then you have a written record of history, and it serves a very good purpose.
Well, yeah, and I think, too, there's two things going on here. I think that newspapers haven't altogether faded away because newspapers are online now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So while their print reach is down, their online reach is up, right? But I don't know if it all equals out in the end or not.
They're losing money.
They're still losing money. They're still losing money. However, with the 24-hour news cycle that we're in too, and with social media being what it is, you can have a story today, and if it's let's say a story breaks right now and it's a big story, and the newspapers do have it, well, they have it in the newspaper on Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Well, you know, everybody's reading online from now until Tuesday morning. It's kind of old news.
That's right.
So you have that to. That's not anybody's fault. That's just the way the world is today.
Well, the newspapers figured out too how much cheaper it is just to go digital.
You don't have to pay for
paper. You don't have to buy as much paper anymore. You don't have to pay people to go out and deliver it.
Right.
So you're saving a lot of money, and you can put your money into your journalistic resources.
There have been some iconic. I mean, the days of William Randolph Hearst and was the other guy, Henry Luce and Gannett. Those days are long gone. But man, there was some excellent drama going on. Do you remember the movies like All the President's Men and these movies that center around papers where the guys going down, stop the run, and they had to stop the presses, and that's just some iconic stuff. I'm kind of pining for the old things there.
Yep, yep. Well, all right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, and Steve Paisley Jordahl. Steve, go ahead.
Back in July, we got some news from the American Thinker, who reported that
me,
yeah, you. I don't know if you wrote
that's
this.
That's what they call me.
They do call you the American Thinker. I know. This is Monica Showalter, who wrote that Kamala Harris is ignoring her daily presidential intelligence briefs. That she's even showed little interest and at times asked the people to stop delivering it to her. She just was not interested in what was going on. But it turns out that this article was wrong, because the New York Times is reporting that she ordered a review of said intelligence briefings to find out how they are portraying women. That the fact is that she thinks that the way that the intelligence briefings are treating women or are characterizing women is somehow sexist. It doesn't really matter to her, apparently, what's in the briefing. But, boy, you better apply the DEI framework to it, or else Kamala Harris is going to be a little upset with you.
Yeah, you're saying the first story you referenced was in the magazine.
Yes.
There is a magazine called The American Thinker, which is a public policy magazine.
Right.
Not widely distributed. But what was their claim?
According to reporter Seymour Hersh, she doesn't read her daily presidential intelligence briefings because that's homework, and she doesn't like to do homework.
I don't think Trump does either. I don't know. I don't know the last.
He seems to be fairly informed on intelligence.
He didn't read them.
Okay.
He said he didn't read them.
He was told that Harris sometimes disdained for the work of the U.S. Intelligence Committee. She's known to be not especially interested in the president's daily brief, and often asked for that to be stopped. Delivered to her. She doesn't have time or doesn't want to know about it. But according to the New York Times, the vice president has critiqued intelligence reports for how they describe female leaders of other countries, ordered a review to scrutinize multiple years of briefing reports to look at possible gender bias.
Yeah. Ridiculous. So she's more worried about that. What they're saying is she's more worried about a gender or racial bias being politically correct, the old term for DEI, than she is about the contents of a security briefing every morning. That's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Ask yourself, when you listen to her, how much of her policy, if she didn't really explain what her policy is, but how much of her issues are based on grievances?
Listen,
she's going after
Price. Listen, the reason the Democrats are losing primarily right now, the presidential election, and who knows what will happen next Tuesday. I don't know. I think Trump is going to win, but who knows? I'm just saying if the Democrats had chosen a reasonably sane politically person that could communicate and was viewed as a centrist, I think they would be winning. I think they would be winning this election. But because they chose, that's my opinion, okay? You may disagree with that. But because they chose such a pathetic candidate in Harris, who even the Democrats didn't want, she didn't even make it to the first Democrat primary. She had to drop out because she was dead last, like among 10 of them. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So she was not, the Democrats didn't want her. The Democrat voters didn't want her. And so she was viewed as just a no good national candidate for president. And then Trump, and then Biden comes in and says, I need a woman of color. That's my first, I need a woman of color. I don't care how good they are. I just need a woman of color. And well, maybe he didn't say how good they are, but that was his first criteria.
Yes.
So he chose Harris because she was a woman of color. Now, she was a U.S. Senator. I will say that. She was a U.S. Senator. So that counts as for something in considering who you want as your VP. But California, the Democrats were already going to win anyway. But you pick her, and there's a reason why the Democrats didn't want her. And now you're stuck with her. So you're stuck with a person who was chosen because she was a woman of color, not because she was the best available candidate for Biden, which may have turned out to be a white man. Who knows? I don't know. Or a woman. Who knows who would have been better? Well, I can name you four or five or six people right off the top of my head who would have been better than Harris to be the VP. But he chose her because of her gender and her ethnicity. And here you go. So now the Democrats are stuck with their own choices based on their own criteria, and they're going to lose probably because of this very reason.
And this is a trend for them. Hillary Clinton was not a very good candidate. She to the bitter guns or the basket of deplorables comments, and she was having some physical ailments, and she just was very unlikable. And then, of course, Joe Biden had to win with help. He ran from his basement. He and the geese were the only things that were, you know, he never campaigned. He was a terrible candidate. And now they have Kamala Harris. It's like the next person up for the Democrats, no matter what.
I know. I'm just saying, had they chosen somebody different,
yeah,
who was a more attractive candidate to middle America out there, mm-hmm, or to the voter than Harris,
yep,
I think there's a good chance they would be winning right now, going into the election day. I know there's a lot of love and admiration, especially on the conservative side, for former President Trump. But there's also a lot of people in this country who don't like him for various and sundry reasons, or his personality and what happened post-election. I mean, people may say, well, that's overblown. Well, yes, it is. But for a lot of people, it's still a strong consideration. It appears like he's going to overcome all that.
People might not like him, but he's a good candidate. He's a very good political candidate. And they're set up for the future because, as you guys
Eddie
were saying,
Vance, yeah,
Vance is a yeah terrific candidate.
But people are having to choose now. Who do we want to lead the country? We want Harris or Trump?
Mm-hmm.
You got to choose one of them because one of them is going to be the president. And right now things are breaking for Trump and among the people who are making their decision in these last three or four weeks leading up to Election Day. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Fred.
You bet.
Our thanks to Chris and Abe and Brent Creeley, our producer. We hope you have a great day. Keep listening to AFR. See you back here tomorrow.